going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. Well, really, you wake up in a bad mood. I mean, you just do. At least I do. I mean, the
went
Phillies
to bed in a bad mood. Yeah. Wake up in a bad mood.
Yeah, Phil's last night, like, it's not good, guys.
I mean, last night was the worst night of the season, in my opinion.
It is. Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. Look, it's not good. And we're going to talk about it extensively today. And look, that says something because we got an NFL draft tomorrow. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is. NFL draft tomorrow, and to a large extent today, I think we'll be more focused on whether you call it a game or whether you call it, you know, a couple weeks here, the Phillies thing in April. I mean, we should be wall to wall draft. And look, we will do draft. Don't kid yourself. We certainly will draft tomorrow. Jason Kelce in studio with us today at 7:30. Kelce will be in here for a big old chunk of time. We'll have some fun with him. Drill down on the draft, but Phil's thing's not good. Obviously, Sanchez last night, the arm issue, but the bat's really the bigger issue within the game. All of that on the table for you. 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hi there, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The world's largest yo-yo ever was 4,620 pounds.
Well, that's hard to believe.
It required a crane to lower it and raise it. And the problem was it crashed the first three times that they tried to use it.
What's the point of that yo-yo, right?
Yeah. It sort of doesn't seem fun.
I think a yo-yo, you're supposed to be able to play with it, right?
It's supposed to have fun.
Yeah. Are you a good yo-yoer?
No.
Have you
Ever tried to eat it?
Yeah. No, hold on. Not a yo ball, the one that comes back automatically.
Yeah, yo-yo. Yeah.
You can yo-yo.
I was also 38 years ago.
You haven't yo-yoed any time in the last decade? I've yo-yoed here and there.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, I have too. Not.
Can you do tricks?
I used to be able to do the trick. I could still like make it like stay at the sit and stuff.
Yeah, make it sleep.
But I used to be able to do like the one where you shoot it out and pull it back. Like, I used to be able to do a couple.
Around the world?
Yeah, a little bit, but
could you walk the dog?
Oh, yeah. I could probably still walk the dog.
That was a classic.
I could probably still walk the dog.
Could you do the cradle?
No, I always tried the cradle and I always screwed it up.
See, I can do a cradle.
We got next level yo-yo.
I feel like we need a yo-yo in here.
Yeah, I'd like to. I think we should get a yo-yo in the studio. And
I think we should get a baseball team that hits with runners.
Well, that would be cool too.
Right, so let's,
I'm trying to think of something realistic. A yo-yo.
Let's get to it here, guys. I mean, this is a disgrace. First off, I'll blame myself for misreading this team in this season. I'm just going to put that out there. And if I have to say it for 5 months, I'll say it for 5 months. But as of now, it is so blatantly obvious that I misread this team. I thought they would come back with greatness. I thought they would come back with hunger. I thought they would come back with excellence. They have not. You know, obviously last night, from a big picture standpoint, the thing that could be the biggest deal is if Sanchez is out for an extended period of time. Who knows? I don't really expect it. But we'll see. If you miss it, they had to pull him out after two innings. Forearm situation. You know, they're going to evaluate him today, and we'll figure out where that goes. But, you know, the bigger thing within the game last night, the bigger reason why they lost the game which is really the biggest thing for the last now four seasons, Sean, is just the inconsistency with the bats. I mean, it is astounding. A team can get so many runners on base and not score them. And we have seen now for this is 4 years in a row. You know what the Phillies have? They have an incredible ability to have a collection of players that are, and they are, a lot of them, they're good enough to be above average, but they're not good enough to be great.
You know what, though?
They're not good enough to be really impactful.
Well,
they're really not.
They haven't been great.
They're really not.
Enough together yet, that's for sure.
And now, by the way, Clyde, and let me just say this, Sean. Last thing, and then I'll turn it over to you. And I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. Look, if you missed it, Phils went down last night to the Mets, pretty much with a whimper as the game went on. I'll say this, and I can't emphasize this enough today. If they really care about their manager, they better get their act together fast because he will get canned. I'm telling you guys, like, we're all frustrated. Imagine how John Middleton feels. He's the guy spending all this money. Now, don't get me wrong. Dombrowski's got a huge role in this as well, obviously on the negative side. But Dombrowski ain't going to get canned during the season. He's not going to. Rob Thompson will if this continues. I'm telling you. Like, you, this team with this payroll and this collection of players of this ilk, if they continue to play like this, the manager is going to get canned during the season. So if they care about him, and I do think they do, but if they really care about him, they better get their ass in gear fast because this has been disgraceful. 215-592-9494. John, talk to me.
I'm mad, very mad at the offense. Why is it happening again, Nick Castellanos, the swinging when it's low and away?
Yep.
I do see some other guys trying to improve in their approach. I see Rojas doing a better job at the plate. There's no doubt Rojas has done a better job. We should commend him for that, but, you know, hey, the team's not doing well, so no one feels good and rosy on any of this. Actually, Bryce, Rojas, Stott, Turner, they're all over 350 on base. I've seen them trying to make a different approach for the most part this season, and I do think Turner's taken a lot of tongue lashing from a lot of people. There, it hasn't been good enough.
Not much power though. I'll say, Turner's a little slappy hitter at this point. I mean,
you're right.
Where are my home runs?
All right, I thought we were going to get home runs too, and that's frustrating. There's so much that's frustrating. At least Bryson Stott is. I think he's doing a nice job leading off, which is something that we.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Talked about a little bit the possibility of, and then everyone just said, you know what, Bryson Stott, he's never going to lead off. He's not going to do that. Well, here he is. He's doing the best job of it. But here, my issue is this team feels like it's getting back to accustomed to being around 500.
I agree.
I do not want that in a million years for this team, for this city. For how long? Joe, you know, as long as we were doing our show until the last few years, It was the team would, they'd win a couple, but you knew, you just knew it would balance out.
Well, they weren't good enough. I mean, you go back to 2019, 2020, they really weren't. We'd like to think they could be, but they weren't. They didn't, and by the way, in those years, they didn't have guys like Trey. They didn't have Schwarber. They didn't have
Chastity.
That's the
difference.
They didn't have Sanchez.
That's
they didn't have
difference.
Lizardo.
I do not want to slip back into thinking like we did then. I do not want this team to slip back
right.
into thinking like a 500 baseball team. They are a top five payroll.
Right.
They have so much talent. They do have high-end capability. There is a high ceiling for this group. The problem is we forget what that looks like when the offense struggles the way it's been struggling, and I can't explain that. But I do know there's an effort being put in. I do see the on-base, you know, for like those guys that I mentioned being over 350. I know it's not where we want it to be, but I do see it as a start. But let's fight against this pod. It really is like since London, this is a team that feels like it's way too good at losing.
They're too talented
to be this good at losing.
John, let me ask you a question, and it plays off what you just said, because I agree with you. So Jason Kelce is going to be in here today at 7:30 for a big stretch of time. We'll do draft with him. We'll do fills with him. We'll have some fun, the whole deal. So he famously said, because, you know, Jeff Stoutland famously said, hungry dogs run faster. Do the Phillies look to you like a hungry dog? Because they don't to me. They look to me like a lot of players that have made a lot of money and still have an incredible amount of guaranteed money coming that don't, to me, look hungry. Now, I don't want to put them all in there. You guys know I'm a big Harper guy. I got massive respect for the career JT's had. I think he's just an aging player that can't be as good as he used to be. I think Schwarber, who last night had a bonehead play on first base, I think Schwarber's been an outstanding fill. I got no issue with that guy's approach, effort, productivity, et cetera, et cetera. I love that guy. I really do. But, I mean, the Bohms and the Turners, like, you know, Cassie last night had some big outs. And I like Cassie. He's had a nice couple first weeks of the season. But, I mean, to me, Cassie and Trey and Bohm are linchpins for what I said earlier. Good enough to be above average, but not good enough to be truly impactful. Not good enough to be truly great. And it's hard to win big, when, like, you got Harper carrying the flag, which he typically does, not playing as well this year as he has in past years, but playing fine, doing a good job, not doing a spectacular job. But, I mean, they are flawed, man. And then the Sanchez situation last night. I mean, look, there's a lot to react to, 215-592-9494. James, you wake up thinking what this morning?
The Christopher Sanchez thing. I think last night was the disaster. I mean, forearm tightness, that is, like, the number one harbinger for Tommy John surgery. Like, when you see a guy has forearm tightness, that is the scariest injury that you could see in a pitcher outside of, like, his shoulders messed up. Like, usually it leads to Tommy John. I'm not saying he's definitely going to get Tommy John surgery, but Christopher Sanchez leaving last night with left forearm soreness means that there is a decent chance that he's going to have to get Tommy John surgery.
Well,
like, that is a... And look, maybe he'll be okay. Maybe it's a couple weeks, whatever. It's not like... forearm tightness is, like, that's the... When guys get Tommy John, they usually leave with forearm tightness.
It was notable.
There is a massive connection between forearm tightness and Tommy John.
Decent chance.
I don't know what the percentages are. I'm just saying that...
You think it's way on the table?
I think it's very on the table. Like, last night, when I saw forearm tightness, my very first thought was Tommy John's, and a lot of people's.
See,
like,
this
is a well-known thing. Like, it is a connection.
I haven't seen that happen a million times the way that you have, you know, the causality. Oh, forearm tightness. Wow. It led to that for him. When I saw the way that Rob Thompson
took him
discussed
right out.
It was clear that it was important. It was clear that it was like, holy cow, we're all business about this.
He immediately removed it.
They don't mess with it because they know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to bet money, I would bet money on he's going to get, like, if you said you have to choose what, like a Twitter poll, yes or no, will he get, I would bet that he's going to get Tommy John. That would be my guess.
Wow.
My God.
I didn't get that feeling from it, and maybe that's
I didn't realize it was
Rob
that extreme
Thompson
either, James.
Is so low key with everything. The way that he spoke after the game, you know, hey, we'll see what the tests show. I did not expect that it was this negative.
No, I didn't put that together to that extent either. I knew obviously it was a possibility. James is alarming me, probably alarming a lot of you, but perhaps not unnecessarily. I mean, it is notable. Rob Thompson zipped him right out of the game. I mean, like we'll play coming up next what Topper said after the game about Sanchez, because you can tell as soon as Rob Thompson heard what it was, without any deep dive, as soon as he heard forearm tightness, he got him right out of the game.
Boom.
And if James knows that, Rob Thompson knows that about the nature of how that works from the body in baseball. All right, 215-592-9494. Just a disaster. And it's going to be harder if Sanchez is out. The bat's better hit, and I'm telling you guys, if they care about the manager, they better get their act in order, because he is going to get fired during the season if they keep playing like this. And the shame of it is they actually played great defense last night. They really did. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, a lot to discuss with the Phillies. We'll get to the Eagles in the draft. What Daniel Jeremiah recently said about the Eagles at pick 32, that and more. Phone calls on all of these topics on 94 WIP. Just a bad, bad, bad job by the Phillies, man. And the crazy thing is they played outstanding defense. By my count, there were six really good plays.
It was his best night.
You had three from Boehm. You had a Cassie catch in right field. You had a Rojas catch in center field. You had a Kepler catch in left field. And Boehm, it legitimately may have been the best defensive game he ever played. And yet the Phillies still get freaking smoked. I mean, not blown out, but essentially smoked, because the bats didn't freaking come through. Devin in for Ree today. Devin, how frustrated are you?
Extremely frustrated. It feels like every game there's, you know, something new to be concerned about with this Phillies team. Like after their first game against Mets, really after, you know, the start to the season, it's the bullpen. Obviously, that is still a concern. Yep. Ryan Kerkering looks horrible, but I mean, shout out to Joe Ross coming in the second inning or third inning, I should say. Yeah. But it really is the bats not providing the run support. I mean, you have guys like Bryce Harper, like Trey Turner, they're paid the big bucks. Like, I know that we've been frustrated with the back of the lineup, but you need those guys to step up when it really matters. Going back to the first game of the series, you know, Bryce Harper and Trey Turner each strike out when the Phillies got within one, thanks to Bryson Stott. So I'm not seeing what I want from the bats, and I don't know how to. It seems like they need to be injected with energy and motivation. They just seem, the whole team seems really deflated. And I don't know if that's Rob Thompson. I don't know if that's, you know, leadership within the clubhouse, but something isn't working. They need to figure it out.
They feel to me culturally stagnant right now.
Yeah.
They really do. And again, I referenced the hungry dogs run faster thing. They don't strike me as a bunch of hungry dogs right now. They really don't. And I'll say this, the two biggest issues this year, I think, clearly have been the bullpen and the bats. Bullpen has been worst, but to me, the bats are a far bigger issue because it's far harder to fix. Bullpen, like, that's an easier, because that's a guy in, guy out, three guys in, three guys out every year. The problem with this lineup is if Trey Turner's not, and listen, to your point, John, Trey does have an on base. I have to look it up now, 350, 360. He has gotten on.
I think he's 351.
Yeah,
on
but,
base.
I don't feel like he's been that impactful. There's not that many homers. There's not that many triples. Like, I need Trey Turner. Like, let me put it this way. You watch a Phillies Mets game, and you see the way the Mets 1-2-3. 1-2-3. It's like, whoa, they're coming at you here, right? I mean, they got Lindor, then they got
Soto, and they got Alonso.
Joe, it's like, wow.
I can say it even easier
Holy
for you.
Mackerel.
How about this? Trey Turner, we're talking about his 351 OBP. He's got a 333 slugging. Think about that.
That's
his slugging
horrible.
Percentage is 18 points lower than his on-base percentage.
Which is almost impossible.
You never see it. It's
yes.
so rare for
Correct.
Your slugging percentage to be below your on-base percentage. Like,
right.
that's how, to your point, your yeah. exact point, no doubles, no homers, like yeah. no impactful hits.
And I'll just one more thing, and then we'll get to the phones in one second. I'll say this. I think back to this past offseason, and I say to myself, you know, Pete Alonso's got, you know, 5 million RBIs already this year. Boy, he'd been a nice first baseman for the Phils.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Alonso, first base, Bryce Harper, right field. Castellanos left field. Let's play ball. Well, don't have him. 215-592.
You love Pete Alonso.
You know what? Like,
Have you ever seen Pete Alonso run? Have you ever seen him run? Because when you watch him sprint, it immediately gives you the ick.
Well, and that's why Joe likes him, because he runs like Joe.
No,
they're
images. They're like peas and carrots.
Right.
Two peas in a pod.
He irritates me also, but you got to admit, the guy just spit out a lot there. The guy,
that was so
the guy hits.
Totally
that
gross.
Was a lot. But the
like
guy,
a giant, ooh,
the guy does drive and runs. All right, coming up in a minute, all the phone calls, reaction on the Phils. And, of course, your anticipation for the draft as well. All that up ahead in 1 minute.
You know you want lawn care service that provides better results and is safer for your family and pets. That's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. And by using organic fertilizers for safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. With Natural Lawn, I know that my family is getting a beautiful lawn that we can all love, and I don't have to worry as much about keeping the dog off the lawn. It's safer. Switch to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. This is a big deal. It's really helped my lawn. You schedule the full service program today, you'll get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, the locally owned and family operated Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
All right, great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Jason Kelce at 7:30 today and AMA today at 7 o'clock. You ask, we answer. Get the questions in. What do you want to know? Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with the show. AMA, we'll have some fun with that at 7. To the phones. Boy, the Phils have not been fun lately. Steve in Egg Harbor Township kicks us off. Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, number one, I don't care about Mr. Blase, Rob Thompson. In my opinion, they lose today. He's fired. He's done. Number two, I am so tired of Castellanos. In every big spot, you know how to deal with this guy. Swinging at that pitch, he couldn't have hit that with Moses' rod that he was holding thousands and thousands of years ago. And number three, Dave Dombrowski going to the dumb school of Daryl Morron, signing Nola to a 7-year, 172 contract. I'm sorry. If you can get rid of Nola at the trade deadline this year, you better get rid of him because this guy is just a disaster for the next 6 years, if you ask me.
Well, look, you got a lot in there. I'm not ready to dump Nola yet. I am concerned. Dombrowski looks pretty foolish right now on a lot of fronts. There's no question about that. It's not that hard to spend a lot of millions and millions and like $1 billion from the owner. I mean, I guess if you added it up, it's probably $1 billion worth of commitment money. It looks foolish because it just feels like they've assigned the money to the wrong players. And that's why I think it's, you know, some people are going to drag, you know, Middleton into this issue. I think that's largely unfair. Like, let me ask you a question, Steve. I'm going to roll out to you right now our Twitter poll question of the day. Rip me an answer right off top of your head. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Steve, you get first crack at it today. Who do you blame the most for the Philly struggles this season? Is it A, the players? And yes, we're lumping them all together, the players. B, Dombrowski. C, Rob Thompson. Who do you blame the most?
D, all of the above.
All right, come on. Give me an answer. Who do you blame the most?
I'll tell you what, man. I do not. You should put the hitting coach in there because he's. I think he's the biggest problem. If you're not going to go with the hitting coach, I go with Thompson.
So he would be last.
He'd be last for me. I was struggling
distant
between
last.
Dombrowski and the players, yeah. And Thompson way behind. I think it's the players for me, but it's close.
It's very close.
But Thompson, it's like not even in the discussion for me of those three. I mean,
I agree, John. Do you have a gut feeling on that?
Oh man, no. I'm with you guys.
That is the exact, like, how we feel about the Phillies right there in 3 seconds.
It's bad. All right, look, you can weigh in, and I'm curious your answer. Who do you blame the most? Because that caller went after Dombrowski, players, and Topper.
And so, Kevin Long, too.
And Kevin Long.
This is a top five roster in terms of what we're paying out to these guys. Is it really all the wrong guys? I mean, It's a lot of them. It does feel like his hit and his actual like connecting percentage when you look at Nola.
Who's the he?
Dombrowski. Yeah. When we're talking about the Nola deal, it feels recent. It feels like the example. It really makes me down.
Well, the trade thing hits me the most because $300 million that's hard for an organization to come back from. If you misassign $300 million to someone, that's,
and you're in year 3 of 11.
That's
the other thing. It's not just misassigning the money; it's misassigning the money to someone who was 30 at the time you gave it to him, or 20, about to turn 30 for the season.
All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, your chance to win Phillies tickets on today's show. Also, Daniel Jeremiah, on the Eagles at 32. What Rob Thompson said about Christopher Sanchez, we'll get to that and more. Phone calls on all of these topics on 94WIP. Well, it feels like Howie Roseman's been ruling the world for a stretch of time. Certainly has a great organization that he is so responsible for. Not only, you know, Lurie's got a big hand on it, obviously, but it's Howie season, and he has really nailed the first and second round, you know, this decade after the Reagor pick. After the Reagor pick in 2020.
Heater.
Excuse me?
Heater. After Heater. The Reagor pick in 2020. Heater. Heater.
Let's just go through it real quick. So it would start with Jalen in the second round of 2020. That's when the good starts. So Jalen, second round. I'm doing it off the top of my head.
It's Devontae and Landon Dickerson the next year. Okay. The year after that, it's Juergens in the second round and Jordan Davis the first, N'Kobe Dean in the third.
And the A.J. Brown trade.
And the A.J. Brown trade. And then N'Kobe in the third, too.
Right.
And then the next year is the Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
Right.
Second rounder.
And Juergens?
No, Juergens was the year before. There's one other, though. The second rounder was solid that year. And then, obviously, last year. With the first three.
Unbelievable. All right, so here's another unbelievable thing. We are now, gosh, we are about 38 hours from the NFL draft. And I'm going to play you a piece of audio here from Daniel Jeremiah. John, it's a whole nother wave of players we've barely talked about. Like, Daniel Jeremiah is asked by John Clark options for the Eagles at 32. It's a whole new crew than dudes we've largely focused on. Listen to Daniel Jeremiah with John Clark earlier this week.
Are there guys that you would picture being right there in the area at 32 that you could see Howie taking?
Yeah, I think you look at, from an offensive line standpoint, Donovan Jackson is the one that kind of stands out to me, you know, is an option there. Josh Connerly from Oregon would be another one that would make some sense, you know, could be there. Maybe he goes earlier, but I could see him in that range right there. So those two guys on the offensive side of the ball. And then I think you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. It'll be fascinating to see how the edge rushers, you know, come off the board. Shamar Stewart will be fascinating just because the production's not there, but you have all the traits and all the talent there. Is that an opportunity for him? You had Donovan Isiraku. Yeah, you know, we'll see where they are with him from Boston College. So there's a good group of guys there. I wouldn't sleep on Nick Scorton either from A&M as a possibility.
It's striking to me, John. I mean, we're this close to the draft, and I feel like some of those names, I mean, a couple times have been referenced on our show, but by a couple.
The first one, I don't think we ever heard. The offensive line, Donovan, I don't think we ever heard that guy's name before. On the show.
What a strange draft.
Donovan Jackson. I never heard the guy's name before.
And he was the first guy I said.
Yeah.
What a strange lead up to an NFL draft. Honestly, as bizarre as just about any I can ever remember from an Eagle standpoint.
Honestly, I was thinking about it. It's just in general, too. Like, if you look at the top of it, it's like a weak draft. The weak draft. Also, first, there are no trades. Every team has its pick. Like, that's never happened. I mean, I'm sure there'll be trades on draft night, but they've never gone into a draft with every team having its pick. Like, it's just a weird draft.
Well, it is a weird draft. And two other things to me, top of the board, I'll say. So, Shedeur Sanders, I think, is the most intriguing thing. Like, where does he land? He could go three. He could tumble down in the 20s. Like, that's very interesting. The other is the player that most considered the best in the draft, maybe, and I'm talking about Travis Hunter, maybe is only the best player in the draft if a team plays them both ways, and we don't know if a team's going to play them. Like, that's one of the things for Kelsey today. Like, Jason Kelsey, can a player play 75 snaps on offense and 75 snaps on defense? Is that reasonable?
Travis Hunter.
Because Chuck Benarek was 60-something years ago, guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, and then is he the best player if a team doesn't play him both ways?
The positions that he
probably
plays,
not.
You can use this guy to truly do anything on either side of the football.
Like, he would be double susceptible to injury. Double. Like, however much a player typically
gets
injured.
Because he's playing extra.
Even more. Yeah. Like, all the snaps on offense, all the snaps on defense, plus cumulative effect. So it's a risky situation. I know you're not worried about it, John, but a good GM
at
should be.
That everyone's
but could you imagine
these guys are getting sent back to the medical combine?
Yeah, but
right
John,
now.
You know, 150. If a guy plays 100, if a guy plays 150 plays,
expert in the country,
150
they know
plays
exactly how many times their heart beats every minute.
But here's the problem: 150 plays over a 17-game season, like add it up, that's a lot. Anyway, let's go to the phone. So there's a lot on the Phillies to react to. The draft, obviously, is tomorrow. We'll play more of the audio of Daniel Jeremiah. And Jason Kelsey will join us coming up in studio around 7:30. Paul in Paul with us right now. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I'm in Westchester, New York.
Yes, sir.
So let me tell you guys, I was there last night. I'm just calling to tell you, I was there last night. I was two rows from the field. The only word I could use is listless or apathetic. To watch these guys, I was trying to think of big words for John. to watch these guys come to the plate, and I have to tell you, Hammer, I hate to give you credit, but you nailed it. I mean, you're the first person with any kind of authority to actually say, these guys have gotten paid, and now what are they doing?
Yeah, they look.
Now, I was just going to say, because, you know, you mentioned a couple of names this morning, and it's the only place I disagree with you, because I'm thinking about Harper. I'm thinking about Trey. I'm thinking about these guys that should be leading this team. And it was embarrassing to watch. And I was with Mets fans, which was even worse. But it was embarrassing to watch these guys. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I think, Richie, you said it this morning. Since London last year, this is awful.
Yeah, they're average. Since London, they're average. Maybe a couple games above 500. That's it. Average.
And the worry is that they've become accustomed. That they just accept, like, okay, well, we remember what it was like when we'd win one, we'd win two, and it was like, oh, well, I'm expecting another loss to sort of even this thing out. That's the way it felt when we started doing the midday show, Joe. It was just a scale that the Phillies would balance no matter what. They won, you know they'd lose the next day, and it's like they knew it too. And they were playing to that eventuality. I don't want this team, one of the most talented in the world and paid that way, to fall into that trap.
So here's the one thing I'll say I disagree a little bit, John. I don't think they, back in 2018, played into that eventuality. I think they were that. Like, they were average. I mean, it's good to have whoever was good back then, but it gets, when Franco's your third baseman or Nick Williams is your right fielder, it's hard to win 94 games. It just
Reese
is.
Reese Hoskins is offensive.
Right.
He is your generator. Your offensive explosion is only Reese Hoskins. That's all you can hope for.
I thought that team, to an extent, maxed out. This team, no.
This team
could be so, I mean, Paul, the payroll, the resumes, the back of the baseball card. There's a lot of guys on this team with, I mean, Castellanos before he got here, and I hate to single him out right now because he's actually been one of the better fills this year. But last night he was obviously not good. I mean, he was 330 and 100 RBIs the year before he got here. Where's that been? Where is it?
John, I'll tell you. I swear. I'll tell you, Joe. John, I'll tell you, Devin. There was a time last year and a time the year before that where these guys would come to the plate and anything was possible. You said this could happen. This was likely to happen. There was a feeling of electricity in the air in the stadium on a Tuesday night in April. You couldn't get a seat. It was awesome. And now you go to the games and these guys come up to bat and they kind of hunker up to the plate. They walk up. They walk out into the field. And you go, oh, this is a double play ball. This ball is not coming out of the infield. Nobody's hitting the ball real hard.
Yeah.
You know, it just lose so much. And from a fan experience, it's like, what am I paying this money for to go and do this? I had the opportunity to buy season tickets again this year, and I'm going, for what? What?
Listen, Paul, you bring up a lot of really, really good points. Call us as much as you can, man. That's a great call. Here's one thing I will say on the flip side, as I just thought of it regarding 2022 and 2023, because what he's talking about is he felt the energy back then. I will say this. I don't think they were actually like a really great team either of those years. I think they got on a heater in the playoffs, and that gave us the misconception that they had turned into a truly great team. I mean, guys, if you go back to 2022 and 2023, I mean, think of it this way. One year they were 21 and 29. Another year they were 22 and 29. They finished with, 89 wins and 80, when they have 90 wins in 23, which isn't bad, I mean, at all. But I wouldn't call that truly great. Certainly not
87,
exceptional.
Or I think it was 87 and 22 and then 90 and 23.
Yeah, like, I think we got a misconception that they had entered greatness because of the 3 weeks that they were on the journey, both Octobers, until they weren't. But, you know, like, Did they really become a truly great Astros Dodgers type team? No.
They've only done that for the first 2 months of last season. Like this whole run, like in terms of and I guess 3 weeks in October in 2022. Right. That's it. That's the only time they've been that level of great this entire run.
I agree. The Sanchez thing is a legitimate concern. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. If you missed it, Sanchez got taken out after two innings last night. And you'll hear with Rob Thompson how immediate it was that Rob Thompson pulled him upon finding out the situation. Here is Rob Thompson after the game.
It's left forearm tightness. Saw the doc. Not expecting any structural damage. We'll reevaluate. We'll know in the next couple of days.
When did you first start complaining of it?
The first I heard of it was after the second inning. I went down and I talked to him and said, "How you doing?" And he said, usually he goes, "Oh, I'm good." Or I said, "Are you all right?" And usually he says, yeah, "I'm good." And this time he just nodded. I said, "Tell me what's going on." And he said, "I'm just, my arm's a little bit tight." I said, "Okay, that's it. We're done."
Will he go for an MRI tomorrow?
We'll know more tomorrow.
Okay, that's it. We're done. He wasn't messing around when he heard it was the forearm, which, James, to your point, is a major concern.
I mean, it's a harbinger, you know? Like, usually, like, when you see these forearm tightness, like, a lot of times it's the first thing you see before they announce that the person has Tommy John surgery.
Because that really could be a pathway to missing the playoffs. You know, the starting pitching's been the strongest part of this team this year. And he's been one of the two strongest, him and Lizardo. And if they don't have him, problems. All right, you've got a shot to win a pair of Phillies tickets. They got another game coming. Well, they got another game today. Afternoon game, by the way, today. But next week on Tuesday, we got tickets for you. Tuesday, April 29th, a 6:45 first pitch at Citizens Bank Park. It's a Hatfield Franks buy one, get one free night. Two hot dogs for the price of one. For tickets, get yourself to Phillies.com. Here's how you can win them today. We're talking about the tremendous movie Pretty Woman before the show, and obviously for Julia Roberts, who was a major breakthrough role and breakthrough performance for her. She had some fame, certainly before that, Mystic Pizza and others, but it was what catapulted her into superstardom, for which she maintained it. I'm looking today for just a tremendous, notable breakthrough performance. Let me give you a caveat. In my opinion, this is me. Everyone else here can be their judge for how they want to do it. To me, you got to sustain it for it truly to be a great answer for breakthrough. Like, I would not say Nick Foles, Super Bowl 52, was a breakthrough performance in that he didn't
keep going through.
No.
He went back to I get what you're saying. That's interesting. I like this.
Not Foles. Isn't Timmy Smith in that one Super Bowl when he rushed for 200 yards? Like, you gotta keep it rolling. That's my opinion. John, when you think of a notable breakthrough performance, can be an athlete.
Man.
It can be an actress or actor. Can be a musician. There's a lot of ways to go here. Breakthrough performance, whoever comes up, by the way, 215-592-9494 with the best answer is going to win the Phillies tickets. Richie, what are you thinking?
Jimmy, 1967.
I am shocked.
So 1967.
No way.
Monterey,
really?
California, the Pop Festival. He had never performed with Mitch Mitchell, his drummer, and Noel Redding, his bassist, in America. And here he is, actually backstage. The Who got in a fight trying to not play after this guy no one had ever even seen before, because The Who had been watching him in London. The Who knew who Jimi Hendrix was, and they're like, "We're not playing after that guy.
Yep.
We're not going." And lo and behold, Jimmy gets out there, he blows everyone away, and at the end of it, gets out the lighter fluid and ignites his guitar on fire, creating an iconic photo, an iconic image that would last forever. But the performance itself was just masterful.
And he obviously maintained, until his death, he maintained. Devin, a breakthrough performance, what do you got?
I'm sticking with Philly sports. Jalen Hurts in 2021, his first season as a true starter.
I don't like that answer. He wasn't good enough then. 2022, to me.
I agree with you. I think 2022 would be Jalen Hurts' breakthrough performance.
Well, so I was actually debating saying 2020 when he came in for Wentz, because Wentz was struggling, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, this guy Jalen Hurts, who we were all mad about
Saints
how he drafting,
well. Yeah.
Is playing well.
You know,
so that's what I understand where you're coming from.
The pessimist would say Jalen Hurts NFC Championship game against Washington.
Yeah, stop it. Well, I thought you were going to say Jalen Hurts hasn't had a breakthrough. I was about to get real mad.
All right, Seltzer, give me a breakthrough performance.
I'll go with an outside-the-box answer. Yep. Jordan Peele with Get Out.
Okay. Ooh, all right.
Good answer.
All right. Look, a lot of ways to go here. Big answers. I'm going to go to the world of movies. I'm going to go to an actor who obviously has been one of the top stars of the last 50 years, and it began in 1977 with Star Wars, and that is the great Harrison Ford as Han Solo. I mean, look, I wasn't alive, but I don't think many people knew Harrison Ford before 77.
Yeah, he was only in, I think, American Graffiti.
Graffiti.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars, and then, like, superstardom. I mean, Indiana Jones and just, you know, 10 different movies in which he was a lawyer and, you know, and then more Star Wars and, you know, it just, you know, Harrison Ford is, he's guy's the man.
Witness was pretty early for him.
Witness was 84.
Like, yeah, 84, 85.
But you think about all of them, Presumed Innocent and all of them.
Presumed Innocent, by the way, super underrated movie. Phenomenal movie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I'm not even sure which one that is. Like, I know that's
with Bonnie Bedelia and
Welcome to My Life.
Raul Julia.
Yeah. John, you should check it,
you
man.
Should watch it. It's a great movie.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Nothing. Other than who's in it. I'm not saying anything else.
Bonnie Bedelia.
The Bonnie Bedelia.
Who, by the way, is as wheelhouse cats.
I know you love Bonnie Bedelia.
Bonnie Bedelia. Holy mackerel. All right, give us a big answer. A breakthrough performance. Whoever provides the best answer, you're going to win the Phillies tickets for Tuesday night of next week. 215-592-9494. Phone calls up ahead. AMA plus Jason Kelce today around 7:30. Joe DeCameron, John Rich on 94 WIP.